It's a great day to be alive, isn't it? Beautiful outside and so beautiful inside here. Just seeing all your faces as we worship the Lord together. Wasn't that a sweet time of worship this morning? His presence is so real and so wonderful, so refreshing, so encouraging. Oh, let's just say together, thank you, Jesus. Well, that was eight of us. Let's just try it again. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
We love you.
We love you.
We praise you.
We praise you.
We trust you. And we fully believe in you. Amen. You know, this morning I spent a little time in my office, and I took a little trip down memory lane and on my phone and back to 2012, and looked at the very first service that we had on YouTube, September of 2012. It's like, wow, that was really cool. It was so amazing to learn that we could end up posting on YouTube and not have all of those DVDs. And it's like, oh my goodness, I was just thinking back when we first started the recording and the cameras and all, and it's just like, oh, praise God. That's been amazing to be able to do that. And I was talking about that a little bit in that message. But the message was God honors honor. And I ended up listening to a lot of that message. You know, it's painful to listen to yourself or to watch yourself. It's like, oh man. But it was really good. And then the third message, or third or fourth message that's recorded on there, is October. You know, it's in October anyway. And it's like, it titled Love Without a Hook or an Off Switch. It's like, oh, that was good too. Like, man, the preacher might not have been that good, but the content was awesome. So I was like, wow. So kind of revisiting, even this morning, I'm thinking the value and the importance of honor. It's honor. So we're going to be talking a little about honor this morning. And then a whole lot about love, what love really is and what love really means. It's like, it's so much more than just an emotion, a thought, a feeling. There is a lot of work and sometimes pain that goes into love, isn't there? You know what I'm talking about. Yes. Thank you, Bethany. Girl's been around the block a time or two. Been through some challenges. She's an overcomer. So I want to start talking about, in fact, I want to tell a couple stories first. Going to have a little bit of fun. This is going to be a very, very, you're going to be so glad you were here today, because this is going to be such a different service. I remember hearing, can't remember exactly who it was, but said, preach the gospel everywhere you go, and when it's necessary, use words. Well, we're going to have to use some words today, but I want to, but you know how Jesus taught in parables and by example? And every opportunity that he could have or he could find turned into a teachable opportunity, right? Well, today we have a very teachable opportunity, not only talking about love, not only teaching about love. It goes so beyond talk. It turns into action, and it turns into a part of our belief system when truly we operate and function out of love and we respond out of love. It's a whole different picture than when we just respond. I was even listening to my message, and it talked about the mirror response, how so oftentimes when somebody comes to us and they're not very nice in their approach, or it's shocking in their approach, we become a mirror that just reflects right back to them just what they've said to us. Only oftentimes I refer to it as a magnifying mirror, where it comes back even bigger, even sharper. And it's like, yes, 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 love. So the message that I preached back then on love, there were a couple examples that I used, and I was thinking love, the action, love as a gift. You know, It's God that loved us first, right? Because he first loved us. Because of his love for us, he gave us Jesus. What an amazing and incredible gift, the gift of Jesus. And I was just thinking how, when we give gifts, and when we genuinely love, what that looks like. And that message, love without a hook or an off switch, if you were to go back to the very, very, very beginning on YouTube, yeah, you'll see that one. It might be entertaining, and it might be really good to listen to. But I had two stories in there that one of the stories, there was someone who had worked for me for years, a few years, probably five, six years, named Daryl Green. I'll never forget Daryl. He was my roommate at college, the short time that I was in college. I don't want to make that sound like I'm a college graduate. It's like, yeah, nope, that didn't work out. It's like, guys, it's going to be up to you and me. And then he ended up coming and working with me for a handful of years, and he was getting married. And so he and I had partnered on a project. I've shared this a long time ago, 12 years ago. He and I had worked together on a project. We remodeled a house. We redid foundation. We did siding. We did windows, kitchen, bathroom. And he was getting married, and for the wedding gift, as soon as he was married, I gave him my equity in that house. It's like, man, what a nice guy. I am always telling people what a nice guy I am. I called Patty and said, why don't you start a rumor about what a nice guy I am, Patty? Then I won't have to keep telling everybody. So I gave him my equity in this house, thinking that he and I are going to partner on a lot of projects in the future. This is he's newlywed. He has a house to move into, brand new inside and out because it's completely remodeled. And he will have this house. What an amazing gift. What a nice guy I am. And he recognized that as an incredible opportunity, because of how much equity there was in that house, to sell that and finish his education. So instead of working for me or with me, he could become an engineer. And it's like, wait a minute. I gave that to you just thinking, having an expectation in my mind and heart that you're going to be partnering with me for a long time. It's like, and now you sold that house. Now you're gone off to BYU for two more years. I'm not even going to see you in that amount of time. How could this possibly be? Like, that gift had a hook in it. I fully expected something in return rather than just handing the gift with no hook. You understand what I'm talking about, the hook now? Love without a hook. When we love unconditionally and when we truly love, we can pour out love without a hook in it. Does this ring a bell with anybody? It's like how often we do give love. Even give it generously, but with a hook. With a hook. It's like, or an off switch. If somebody doesn't do what pleases us, we can be really quick to flip that love switch right off. It's like, I loved you until you, and now I can't believe, and so we switch the switch off. Are you with me? Has there been anybody in here that's been guilty of that? Praise God, we've got the perfect congregation. Amazing. I humble myself at your feet. It's like, oh, as I'm confessing my sin. My second one was someone that had come to the church. It was a young family, and the favorite car I've ever owned was a 1989. I know it was just before the body change, Lincoln Town Car. You know what those look like? That really cool front end and a box. Like a long, long box with a really cool front end. But you can haul a whole van's worth of people in one of those things. And these kids, these young adults, they had a beat up old minivan that they couldn't keep running. And so I was like, have I got something awesome for you? I gave them that car. And I was thinking they can use that to come back and forth to church because I see so much potential in these kids. It's going to be amazing. Now they can have a dependable vehicle that will get them back and forth to this church, my church. It's like, awesome, awesome. They thanked me so much for that car. They kept their beat up minivan and they sold that car. And they moved to Washington. Like, are you kidding? It's like, I have decided the old adage that no good deed goes unpunished. No, not true, not true. But God was just teaching me to love unconditionally without a hook. And not to turn the switch off when somebody did what I didn't think they should do. Are you with me? Okay, we're gonna look at some scripture here. Now, when I say this is gonna be a service that's something amazing, it seemed like just yesterday that Akeem and Becky came into our fellowship, into our church, and they were talking to me, and I started speaking with them, mentoring them a little bit, and went to dinner with them, and thought I would walk outside with their little daughter and realize that she was a sprinter. We stepped out the door. She took off running down the sidewalk. I ran chasing her as fast as I could. Somebody saw me chasing this little girl. They pick up their cell phone. They're pulling in behind me with their horn lights. They're calling the cops because they thought I'm chasing this little girl down. It's like, oh my goodness. No good deed. It's like, oh. I survived. I didn't have a heart attack. I did finally catch her. Her parents came out. They called them off. So it was all good. It was all good, but those guys were ready to commit their lives to Jesus. They were ready to do it right. So I did a wedding in here. They went from a wedding to a baptism, from a baptism down to a baby dedication, because they had a baby between them. Teaching through the whole thing, you know. Sometimes it's not just about words, it's about action, and then you can teach through the action. Like Jesus did, you know, like kind of like on the job or something. This morning, what we're going to do here pretty quick, but I want to preach a little bit more first. I don't want to lose all my time. We're going to do I might need to look at my notes for how I worded this, but we're going to do a release, a bless and release, a transferring, a handing of the baton, and two installations. So this is going to be a full service here as we get into it. So you know what's coming, you know what's going to happen, you know what's going on. We're going to be a bless and release, a pass the baton, and an installation. Got it? All in one service. And then we're going to have all of this is going to be bathed in prayer. So you got your prayer shoes on? All right. You ready? Okay, we're going to talk about love. Love. So I want to turn, the first place we're going to turn is to the love chapter. Everybody knows what that means? Corinthians 13th chapter, the very end of the 12th chapter, it says, "And yet I show you a more excellent way." So we're to desire the best gifts, the best spiritual gifts. But the most excellent way begins in verse 1 of chapter 13. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal." And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I am. If I don't have, I am. Although I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me. Love suffers. Everybody say, love suffers long. It's like, man, that's not what we think of when we think about love. We think about the flitters and the feelings and the emotion that comes with love. But there's a lot of emotion that comes with love, and it's not all about flittery, glittery, good, 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 good. Love suffers long and is. Love does not. You know, when I said that in the kingdom, there's no kingdom competition. The only competition that there is in the kingdom is that we're competing with the kingdom of darkness, but that's really no challenge. Because we already know we win. Love does not. Okay, you've already said it three times, so I guess you quit. Love does not parade itself. It's like, okay, there is nothing fake about love. It's just the real deal. It's genuine. You don't parade it around. You don't put on an act, and it is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. It's like, oh, let's say that together. Love is not provoked. And love thinks no evil. Let's say that together like on three. One, two, three. Love
thinks no evil.
Amen. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. In the first three words, and then the period in verse 8, love never fails. Let's say that one together. You ready? One, two, three. Love never fails. Amen, amen, amen. I want to turn to Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38. Keep talking about love here. What's the commandment that was given to us by Jesus? Red letters. We can even start with verse 36. Let's start with 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 36 through 40. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, your understanding. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So you can hang your hat, you can hang your life on these. Love the Lord your God with everything you've got, and love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes that can be a little challenging. I remember when I preached this message, the first one that was on YouTube. Back then I used Dale Davis as neighbor. I remember him complaining about a neighbor that he had back in 2012, and I'm sure that it was not Arlette. I don't know who it was, but I remember you talking about, I referred to that bad neighbor, and I said, and I hope he's not here. Loving your neighbor as yourself. And John 13, 34, 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then that's like, you'll know my they will know you're my disciples by the love you have one for another. I want to turn last, not least, for scripture to Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Is that up there now? Let's read this together. I think this is such an important passage, scripture right here. Like on three, one, two, three. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Yes, yes, and thank you, Jesus. I do have one more scripture, the last scripture, and this is the one that it's like, ugh. Knowing that all things work together for good, and loving without a hook or an off switch is so important in all of the things that we do. But we're about to go through a little bit of a process right here, which is very real, which is very close to our hearts, many of us. And it's like, I definitely am not about putting on a good show or doing something for show, but I'm about real, the real deal. What's real? So what's real love? What is showing genuine love? It's like, okay, that's what we're about and going to be expressing and showing and teaching today as we go through this process. You know, there are a number of churches that I've watched, that I've seen, separations, like when somebody feels like they're called to move on or something has happened, and the church starts putting out all kinds of like crazy rules. And that's so much hurt that is caused from that because of not genuine honor and love through the process. It's like, if you genuinely love somebody, you will pour into that somebody without expectation. There is no hook and no off switch. Right? Are we all in agreement? Yes. On the same page. Okay. Well, this young man that sits over there on the front corner over there. Oh, no. I already came into an agreement with myself. I had a very serious, serious talk this morning that there was going to be no display of emotion. We're going to suck it up. I buried my 29-year-old son. I buried my dad. I didn't cry at either one of those things. I am not crying today. Might bite a hole in my tongue, but I'm not going to cry. Okay, thank you. It's like when, you know, we, culture of honor, we teach culture of honor, we believe culture of honor, and we act out culture of honor and love. When people come to Valley Church, our mission statement is to equip and empower you to fulfill your purpose in Christ. To equip and empower you to fulfill your purpose in Christ. Now, if your purpose in Christ happens to be outside the walls of this church, heaven forbid. No, heaven doesn't forbid. Heaven is ready and willing to bless going on outside because there is no competition in the kingdom. Sometimes wrapping our mind around that. When I first stepped into pastoring, I realized that, holy smoke, all of the things that I thought many pastors that I would be able to partner with, I found out that pastors are some of the most insecure people in the whole world. Wow. Well, that I've met. I shouldn't make that. I just had several encounters. I thought, oh my word, oh my word. So if some of the rules that I've seen, you know what, here's pastoral ethics, here's this, like, okay, if our mission is to equip, empower, then release into the kingdom, then that's exactly what we should be willing to lovingly do. Right? Okay, we're all on the same page. So that's what we're about to do. But, you know, the emotions that we have to end up dealing with and going through, it's like, you know, there are emotions that are involved and that are connected, and I can say, oh man, Lord, I have poured more into this kid than any other individual in my life, with the exception of my own children. And I hear back, it's like, you were raising up a son to release. It's like, yeah, are you sure about that? Okay, so we're ready to get this process started. So I am going to, and this is how it's going to happen. It's going to be like a celebration time. and all of us are going to have some emotions that we end up going through and dealing with. It's like, yeah, but I'm going to miss. Yes. But undoubtedly we know that God's in control, that all things work together for our good, for their good, for all parties that are involved. All things work together for good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Knowing that, trusting that, believing that, then we keep our love on, we bless, and we pray together, and then we release. It's like, are we ready? Maybe, yeah. Maybe. I might have to have somebody else slap me at least once. So I'm going to end up, oh, speaking of babies, man, my grandbaby number five is a great grandbaby number five, little Hadley sitting on the front row. I hope I got that name right. That would be horrible. First time in church. Why don't you just do a stand up and turn around? This is a special, special time. Grandbaby number five, great grandbaby number five. Okay, I'm going to be asking anyone that has served, not that has served, that is currently serving on the youth team, if you guys would come up. Yes, yes. Yes, currently serving on the youth team. Yeah, it's one more round of applause. This is what Pastor Tim and Ezzie have built and created. It's like, and that is worth one more round of applause. Okay. And Susie. Where is Susie? Yeah. And Ryan, and Pastor Christy and Ryan. Oh. So, Pastor Rich, Pastor Dina. Ruth. Just doing something. Pastor Matthew, yes, with the microphone. We're getting it together. This is about a full house here now. Okay, Pastor Tim and Ezzie If you guys would come up now. I think a standing ovation would be of appreciation. Okay, see, you can be seated now. So oftentimes when something like this comes about, people are looking for like, well, whose side am I going to be on? Whose side am I going to be on? And these kind of things can end up creating significant division in a church because people are ready to just side up with something and somebody. And there's absolutely no reason for that when it's done in honor and love. And I just want to say that for Pastor Timothy, there is not one task in the 5 years that he served under me that I gave him that he didn't either meet or exceed all of my expectations. So I can't be any... more proud or pleased than to be able to say that. So it's like the tenure that they've had here, their 5 years of serving, has been amazing. It's been incredible. It's been such a blessing to Valley Church. We were blessed to have them, and we are going to bless them as they embark on to what's next for them in the future. So, Pastor Rich, I wanted you to address, there's the microphone. Oh, here, I'm sorry. I got one right here.
Are we on? Okay. If you could turn just a little bit so I can see both of you with your beautiful, with two of the five. They have five children now, and I told Pastor Tim, he's such a sports fan, now that he has a basketball team, he needs to go for a football team. but I think as he had other ideas about that. I want to read a scripture, and then I want to share a word that I think the Lord has given me for you folks today. Oh, yes. This is from the book of Acts, chapter 16. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. One of the greatest stories in the book of Acts, responding to the call. Now, Tim and Ezzy, I don't know if you recall years ago when you first came here and you heard about Valley School of Supernatural Ministry, tell a little story. Pastor Tim looked at me and says, "Pastor Rich, I'm not sure. I'm already a Bible college graduate. But I'll nevertheless go to VSSM." And 6 weeks in, he goes, "Wow, I didn't know everything." So, and since then, you've had such a teachable spirit. And we appreciate teachable spirit. That God uses people who have humble hearts and a willingness to serve him with such humility. Ezzy, you have been such an outstanding person here at Valley Church and the offices that you filled. There are rooms in this place that you have touched that will never be the same because they're so well organized now. Praise God. And you had a great effect upon Fallon, and she's so organized. So praise God for that. And Pastor Tim, what can I say? A lot of the folks here probably don't realize that after your first year of ESSM, you came to me and go, "Well, you know, I know Pastor Rich, you're the dean of the school, but can you bend the rules a little bit? I want to do second and third year together." And I said, "I'm not sure you can do that," but he did it. Night and day, study, 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 he did it. Driving back and forth to work, he was listening and praying, and so he is a very, very as we talk to our students today, he's a very, very strong person towards getting things done. And when we look at this, the people behind you today, these are people that you have touched. Amen? And they're getting things done, and they're excited to walk in your footsteps. Now, talking about footsteps, I want to talk a little bit about trails. Years ago, I had the opportunity to visit one of my grandfathers 10 generations back, who designed, he found a ford of a river so that people in schooner wagons could come across his farm. And that was the beginning of what was called the Northwest Passage. And there were trails of wagon wheels going across his farm. And when we visited it, at the edge of the river, you'd see that there were so many wagon wheels that traveled there that there were actually grooves in the stone. Years later, when I was a youth, we moved to southern Iowa, and I went to school in a town called Macedonia. And outside Macedonia is a trail. It's called the Pioneer Trail, that if you go there today, Tim, you can still see the grooves in the road that were established over 150 years ago. And then I moved to Boise, Idaho, and I find out outside Boise is this trail called the Oregon Trail with grooves that are still there. You can still see them today. Well, when I look at a picture of the United States, all these trails, the Northwest Passage, the Pioneer Trail, and the Oregon Trail, they all intersected. So as you go through life and you go on, you establish your own trail, the roots run deep. And Tim, the roots of the trail that you have had here at Valley Church run deep. And those trails, roots are still going to be there. Look at how it's influenced the people behind us. Look how your influence has been on this church. How many of you have been affected? But Pastor Tim, I got to say this about you. As your dean and mentor for all these years, I got to warn Izzy. Not only do you have a schooner wagon, but you don't like the horses. You want to tie a rocket to that wagon. And you want to rocket down the trail. But as you leave us, we're praying that God will give you a vision like he gave Paul. And Ezzy, hold the reins. We don't want him to be rocketing so fast that he misses one of the curves on the trail. But that the trail will continue to go and be blessed of God and anointed of God, and there'll be many other people that will be affected by the trails of your life as you establish your ministry. Praise God.
Don't run off of that mic. I would like now, like Pastor Dina, Pastor Rich, Pastor Christie and Pastor Matthew. To lay hands on them, and we're going to pray over them, and I'd like the church to extend your hands toward them, and we're all going to pray together, led by Pastor Rich. Starting now.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your son and your daughter and their children that you have called with a calling of what we refer to as the Macedonia call. Lord, we don't know exactly what path will be taken, but we know, Lord, that you establish our paths and our goings, that you specialize in making the crooked ways straight. So, Lord, we just thank you right now that as we lay our hands on Tim and Izzy and their family, Lord, that you will establish their paths, establish their trails. Lead them and guide them. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will meet them regularly in the early hours of the day to help them to understand the leading of the Lord in their lives. That there may be trails that they'll follow, but there may be new trails that they will establish as they are called of the Holy Spirit. That as they step, their paths will be illuminated by the love and grace and mercy of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And Lord, we pray that they will be mighty warriors in the kingdom. We pray that there will be many, many souls that they'll be rewarded for their hire. We thank you, Lord, for the intellect, the humbleness, the spirituality, the intelligence, the knowledge of the Word of God that is so much a part of their lives. But most importantly, Lord, we thank you that their number one priority is King Jesus and being led of the Spirit and training and teaching so many others to be led of the Spirit. So we ask your, humbly we ask, Lord, abundance blessings upon their ministry, upon their lives, upon their children, that there will be safety and provision in all aspects of their ministry. And we give you thanks and praise, and everyone in the church said,
amen.
Amen.
Okay, there's blessing. Now, Susie, their last official act at Valley Church is going to be to hand off the baton and to bless their successors. So however you guys, whichever wants to end up praying over Susie, first I want you guys to. I can remember when Ezzy first came, I was baptizing her sister and trying to get her just to be able to pray over her sister. And she said, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. And she turned into a force thereafter. So it would be awesome for you to end up praying over.
Yeah, let me just start before really fast, though. I just want to say, Miss Susie, how proud we are of you. How amazing of a job that you're already doing in the kids' ministry.
Yes.
And just already, like, the thought behind it is not just a babysitting time. It's actually time to raise up warriors in the kingdom. And
yes.
Just, I've been extremely grateful, even for our own daughter, just of you saw the gift, you saw the talent, and started saying, like, let's work with this. Let's go with that. And just thank you from our heart. But also, too, I know for so many others, all of us here at Valley Church, just the gifting and calling that you see. And just pray that it would just continue to grow in you and through you. So, all right, now I'll let Ezzy go.
All right. Everybody knows Susie's my best friend. And I know that God put her into my life. And I'm so thankful for her. And she's just been a huge influence on me. So I'm just going to pray over you. So, Lord, I just thank you so much for Susie, for the blessing that she is to everybody here and to our children. Lord, I just pray that you empower her with your words that speak to her, to what needs to be taught to all these children, because we know there's no junior Holy Spirit, that they are going to be equipped and empowered to go to share the gospel, and Susie's going to have such a huge part in that. So I thank you for revelation and for downloads. And I just pray favor over her all her days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. We're going to end up having one. I said we're going to be bathed in prayer, so there's going to be another round here. But now, Ryan, if you would come up here. So the transfer, Ezzy to Susie for children's ministry. Now we're talking about from Pastor Tim to Ryan, and Christy is going to end up being very much a part of that as well, as Ezzy was with Tim. But Ryan is going to become our new youth leader. So so you step up.
Yeah. Why don't you step out here? Yeah, Ryan, I just I've said it before, and I guess I'll just continue to say it again. Like, just thank you for the character and the integrity that you walk in. You really, when you put your step forward, like, there's no holding back. It's been amazing, not only just to watch you grow from speaking here, but, like, even just the influence that you already have. And I think it's just going to continue to grow into the youth ministry. It's probably the hardest part of this transition is the youth ministry. And I know that you also don't take it lightly, and neither do I. But I just know that, like, my ceiling is now your floor that you get to build on. And you get to just go with the people that are here are, like, ready to run alongside you. You and obviously you have an amazing partner with Pastor Christy. And I just also just, I'm just thankful. I think we were standing in this spot 4 years ago, and we were being put in place as youth pastors from Pastor Christy. And we took over, and 1 month later, it ended up being the pandemic and everything shut down. And so we're just praying that that doesn't happen to you. You don't have to do anything over Zoom, because that was the worst time ever in youth ministry. I saw more animal body parts than I actually saw students. But I just know that God's just going to continue to do such an amazing work. So if you guys would just extend your hand to Ryan and Pastor Christy, and we just say right now, Jesus, we just thank you, Father, for this amazing couple. We thank you, Lord, for their gift. We thank you, Lord, for the mantle that's being placed on them, for them be able to say yes to you, to pick up and to carry on, God, that this youth ministry is going to be blessed. This youth ministry is going to grow. This youth ministry is going to be set on fire. We just thank you, Father, that this coming youth camp is going to be the greatest youth camp ever seen in tribe history. We just thank you, Father, for this team that's also here. We just thank you, Lord, that there's this amazing call to run. And we just thank you, Father, for the strength that's coming in to Pastor Christy and Ryan. We thank you, Lord, for the strength that's coming into their body that's going to be able to, we just say to every confusing thought from the enemy that you have to go, to every weariness, to every tiredness, that they won't even need energy drinks, thank you, Jesus, to be able to run in youth ministry, just really strong tea and really strong coffee. And we just say, Lord, that there would just always be a blessing. We even pray over their marriage, God, and their family, that there would be this strong bind around them, God, that no weapon formed against them will prosper. And we just thank you, Father, for the gift that they have for stepping in to say yes to you, to see your kingdom come and your will be done in tribe as it is in heaven. And so we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Not exactly sure what you guys would like to do, but we, as a congregation, we as the staff, we as those who have served immediately under you, with you, alongside you, release you in the name of Jesus, bless you to go and do what you are called to do in his name. And I say, you are blessed and released, but I just want to read the numbers blessing over you. Something I think is, it's like when we think of the crossover, when the children of Israel crossed over and they were receiving direction, it was pretty clear. The blessing spoken to Aaron and his sons. Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you. You know that's something that we have so well fostered, is the presence of God. Make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, that you will walk in and under his grace and mercy. Lord, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And together as a congregation, we said,